Good evening, everyone. Bill, of course, is recuperating tonight for the next few days, I'm sure, but he'll be fine, it looks like. So tonight we're going to try to finish up the little book of Philemon. Good to see Kenneth back. Kenneth, David, and I are going to start running with you some, you know, so... As soon as we can get ready to go, we'll do that. I said you and I are going to start running some with Kenneth. Dinner table. That's quite a deal. I don't know what, 20-some thousand runners probably? Almost 25,000. And Kenneth was in the top probably 3% or 3.6%. That's pretty good, guys. That's real good. Matter of fact, the Boston Marathon is probably the most, I'd say, most renowned marathon in the world, right? Okay. So I'd say the streets were pretty full, right? Part of the biggest part of the job was try not to get run over initially. Yeah. Yep. Well, it's good. I'm glad. I hope you enjoyed it more than I would have. But, yeah. It's good to have you back. We're going to look at the last four verses in Philemon. Now, if y'all been here and been keeping up with us on our little study of Philemon, basically the little book, it's only, 25 verses in the entire book, and in some ways, it sort of seems a little bit out of place. The message, in a way, is a little bit different. And some have questioned, should Philemon even be in the New Testament? Because there's really no application or there's really no place that it seems to fit in. However, you have to look, and that's what Bill, I think, was emphasizing. There's a lot more to this little book than just the story of Philemon. The book is about Paul writing to Philemon and the others there in Philemon's household, and then they had a church, our house church there, and he's asking something of Philemon. He's asking Philemon to take a runaway slave who had run away from Philemon's household. And Paul had converted him, and now he's asking, Paul is writing back, and he's asking Philemon what? What important question is he asking him? Take him back as a brother. Take him back, not just take him back, he's coming back to you, he needs to come back, he's done a wrong, but take him back as a brother, and not just a brother, but a what? Brother in Christ, a beloved brother. And Bill talked about what a challenge this would have been from different perspectives, right? You know, Onesimus, the runaway slave, Paul had to talk to him and had to, in his conversion, he had to make him understand you've done a wrong that you've got to make right. You know? And then in writing back to Philemon, he's got to make Philemon understand this is your obligation as a brother, as a Christian, that to take him back in a time had to be done carefully. Slavery was pretty common. And so he had to present this in a way to Philemon, where it would not only be acceptable to Philemon, but that he could make Philemon understand as a Christian, this is what he's supposed to do, is to take him back. So, in verse, I'm going to read 21, 22, 23, and 24, 5 there, and then we're going to go back and look at these verses. 21, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus. I always have trouble with that name. I didn't know too many people down in Clark Ridge with that name. Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So he's sort of wrapping up his letter here in verse 21. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than what I say. How do y'all interpret that? What do y'all take from that? What do you take from that verse? Okay. And hasn't he kind of, we're going to talk a little bit about some of that a little bit later on, some of the ways that, some of the words and the terminology that Paul used throughout his letter that would actually build him up along the way. Okay.
I'd say
had confidence. Okay. Going above and beyond what is required. Have we heard that before in the New Testament? What's another? Have we studied the principle of going the extra mile, right? You know, when they were asked to carry a Roman soldier, they were not asked, they were obligated to carry a Roman soldier's belongings for 1 mile. And the message was, do what? Carry it 2 miles. So he's saying, you know, go the extra mile. What about, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say? Any ideas? Any ideas about you will do even more than I say? Any thoughts?
We don't really know the household of the believer. Evidently, it must have been fairly well followed by Paul, because when he talked about the household and church meeting there.
Yeah. You know, yeah. And over in verse 2, when it mentions Apphia and Archippus and our fellow soldier and to the church in your house, talking about the possibility that could have been his wife, remember? Maybe his son, maybe his family that he's also and he's sending greetings to. You know, so Philemon also has to be considering all these other people, doesn't he? And convincing all these other people that I'm sending him back. I trust that you will do more, much more, perhaps, much more than what I say. Have you ever thought about the possibility that maybe much more might mean what? When Onesimus came back, he might do what? If he's going to do much more than I say, Paul's asking just to take him back as a beloved brother. But if you're going to do much more, what would be the next logical step maybe in this particular situation? It's cut him, set him free. Emancipate him. That's possibly what he's talking about here. Do much more. First of all, I'm asking you just accept him. He's coming back. He's done wrong, but he's coming back a different person. He's coming back as a Christian. He's going to come back as your brother, your beloved brother. And then you've got all these people here that's you've also got to consider about this slavery issue. But all I'm asking you is bring him back, treat him like your brother. You know, treat him like your brother. And then he's going to say, maybe you'll even do more. Take that next step if that's possible. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Okay? How many of you ever go somewhere and tell somebody, hey, I'm going to be there, and prepare your room for me? We don't normally do that, do we? You know, we don't normally just say, prepare your room house for me because I'm going to be there. You know, they're going to be, as soon as I get out of here, as soon as I get out of this prison, I expect to get out pretty soon and I'm going to come down. Now, I don't think he was saying I'm going to come down as a way of threatening, do you? I don't think he means that at all. I'm not coming down to see that you've done what, you know, what I told you to do with this fellow slave. He's saying I'm coming back. He had a close relationship with them himself. They're his Christian brothers. And he wants to come back. And so he apparently was close enough to them that he felt comfortable to say, when I come back, can I stay with you? When I come back to see you, can I stay with you? He says, I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. He's asking them to pray for him. Pray that I can come back and see you. So this was evidently quite a bit more than just a stopping through on the way. And, you know, he had a lot closer relationship with these people than that, didn't he? From all accounts, this Philemon must have been a good man. You say, well, how could he have been a good man and had a slave? Well, majority of families had a slave, had a house servant or a house slave. And in order, you know, slavery was an issue at the time that was not going to be easily overturned and was going to be very volatile at best to bring it up, so to speak, you know. And so Paul is trying to maneuver around that and work carefully. But Paul's main purpose is what? His main purpose is, this brother has wronged you. He's coming back to right his wrong. And what he's coming back as is not the same person that he came away from you as. He came away from you as a slave, someone who was, I would guess to say, angry, upset, tired of being obligated to someone else, to a family, as a slave or a servant. That's how he left. But he's coming back as a brother, as a Christian. What would Onesimus, what would he have thought had he come all the way back and his reception would have not been good? What would Onesimus have thought? What?
That might have been what he was expecting. Okay.
Might have been what he's expecting. Perhaps maybe he would have thought, now this Christianity is not what Paul led me to believe. You know, that's not what Paul taught me. Paul taught me about grace, you know. Paul taught me about love and acceptance. And that's what Paul taught me. So I'm going back, probably nervous, probably scared, you know. So Paul's having to work that side of it with Onesimus. He's having to work this other side of it with Philemon, you know. So, you know, quite a challenge. Had there not been the teaching of Christ, had there not been the conversion, would this have had any chance of working? No. There was nothing that would bind them together, right? Had Onesimus not been converted and going back as a Christian, there was nothing that would have convinced those people, hey, you know, that Onesimus is a changed man. He's just a runaway slave. And now we're sending him back. Why? Because he's scared, because he got caught, whatever. And then the church, the house church, all those people, Philemon, his family, they might have sat back and said, well, why is he coming back? Why is he coming back? He got caught. He found out this wasn't quite as bad a place maybe as he thought it was. It's a tough world out there. So, but Paul is writing them explaining, isn't he? He's explaining all this to them. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So his final greeting is actually a combination, isn't it? It's both a greeting and a what? A prayer. It's both a greeting and a prayer. So what he's saying here is, you know, my fellow prisoner in Jesus Christ greets you. Others, my fellow laborers, they greet you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So Paul has made this letter, sent it to Philemon. He's appealing to Philemon. He's pleading with Philemon, please accept this runaway slave back. Please take him back. You know, we greet you. You know, we ask for your grace in dealing with all this. But he's saying, please take Onesimus back as your brother. Yeah. Any comments? Any thoughts? Suggestions?
Okay. Paul offered to pay.
Okay.
Whereas Onesimus either took or what was owed him because he wasn't there.
Yeah. We don't know, do we?
No. Paul offered to make payment for that because the woman stopped the thing.
Yeah. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. In other words, this is coming from me. This is all coming from me. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. You know, that last little part of that has caused me some, not problems, but some thought. You know, that last little part, why did Paul say, you owe me even your own self besides, you know? And it's, to me, that's it's kind of hard to understand why Paul said that. Have y'all thought about it? Okay. Yeah. Ron?
Mark, it might be that we all owe a debt to anyone, especially someone that's introduced us to Christ.
Okay.
And that that's why you owe me, because I'm sorry, everybody said the same thing.
No, it's, I think your line of thought is pretty much the same. Yeah.
Not so much for Philemon as it is for any Christian.
Right.
Reminded of what our responsibilities
are. Okay. Okay. I wish we knew more. I wish we knew, don't y'all? Knew a little bit more about the rest of the story, so to speak. You know, I wish we did. But sometimes we don't have that information. Sometimes we don't. We don't always have access in the writings and the teachings here to know the rest of the story. We just have to go on faith and what we have here, that this was a great example for all of us, every one of us, on how to treat our brothers, you know, how to forgive, how to apply grace in our lives. How many of us have ever had grace shown to us? Many times? I think probably so. You know, there's lots of things that go on in our lives that, you know, we probably don't deserve the good treatment that comes, right? We don't deserve it because of what we've done. But what are some great characteristics of leadership found in the book of Philemon? I went through and I just wrote down a list of things here on how Paul approached this letter. And think about what Paul's trying to do here. You know, and verse 4, I thank my God. Philemon, Paul's writing, and look at some of the phrases and the terms that he uses that shows how convincing and the type of person that Paul was. In verse 4, he thanks God for Philemon. In verse 5, love and faith to the Lord and to the saints. Hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. You know? Hearing of your love and faith. How often does somebody come up to you and say, I've heard of your love for the Lord. I've heard of how faithful a person you are. How do you think Philemon would have felt when he read that? Would it have made him feel pretty good? It would have made me feel pretty good. Hearing of your love and faith. I hear of you. I hear of your works. I hear what's going on. You know, I acknowledge acknowledgement of all the good things. Verse 6. Sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Verse 7. We have great joy and consolation in your love. Refreshing of the hearts of the saints because of him, by you, brother. Down in verse 14, I wanted to do nothing without your consent. Without your consent. He wasn't, and that's pretty important concept in this book. I wanted to do nothing without your consent. You know, Paul could have just as easily have done what? He could have stood up there and said, I'm sending him back. Just remember, I taught you and I taught you all about how you're supposed to act as a Christian. Onesimus is your slave. He ran away. I've converted him, but I'm sending him back. End of story. Would that have worked? Not too well, probably, would it? But he said, I want your consent. I want you to approve. I want you to accept and approve what I'm trying to do here. You know, does it work a lot better if somebody comes to you and say, I'm asking your consent? Yeah. If your daughter's fixing to been seeing this young man for a long time and this knucklehead guy comes in and wants to see you and says, sir, may I talk to you? Yeah, I'd like to have your consent to marry your daughter. Would you take that a little better than he said, come in and say, well, we're going to get married? You know, the consent part of an agreement is pretty important, isn't it? It's more likely to happen and everyone feel good about it if consent has been applied, asked of, and given. And given. Okay. Verse 14, voluntary acceptance, not by compulsion. Okay. If you look at 14, that your good deed might not be by compulsion. as it were, but voluntary. It's going to be a great deed. He comes back, but under what terms? How good do you feel if you've made that decision, that it's the best decision, and you make it voluntarily, or if it's by compulsion? Well, I guess I'll do this. Really don't want to. He's done me a great wrong. I don't care if Paul is going to pay for any damages or any money he owes. I don't care about that. But Paul says, you know, I've got to take him back. He needs to come back. Is that voluntary or is that compulsion? It's more compulsion, isn't it? More compulsion. Okay. As a beloved brother, verse 16, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. This is a big deal here. This is maybe one of the most important verses in this whole book. He's coming back much more than a slave. He's coming back as your beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Receive him as you would me. In verse 17, Paul's saying, Philemon, he's, you know, you and I have a great relationship. You must care a lot about me, and I know I care a lot about you, and I long to come back to see you. I'm asking if I can even stay in your house, in your home. You know, that's how well you would receive me. But how well are you going to receive Onesimus? Receive him as you would me. You know, so think old Philemon had a little problem with that. These are all things that's in this letter that are a little bit challenging. They're a little bit challenging. You know, everything, a lot of things are you kind of question a little bit. You know, got to take him back. Got to treat him better than you. You know, you came through here. You came through this area, and you taught us, and you converted a bunch of us, and we had a close relationship, and some of your fellow workers are still in touch with us. And we've started this church here in our home, you know, of serving. You know, and you think that this runaway slave is, we should treat him better than we would you, or receive him as we would you? Yep, that's the Christian principle applied, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. I have confidence in you. Verse 21, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more. How important is confidence? If I tell Kenneth, I have confidence that you're going to finish the Boston Marathon, that probably wouldn't mean much because he probably knows he's going to finish it. But what if Kenneth might not have known whether he's going to finish it or not. And several other people that are important in the running world came up and said, Kenneth, we got a lot of confidence that you're going to finish this. You're going to do it, Kenneth. You're going to finish it. That would mean something to him. Paul saying here, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you. He's saying, you know, I've got confidence that you know what? You know what a Christian is. You know, in your obedience, you obeyed. You know what it's all about. I've got confidence in you. I've got confidence in you that you're going to do the right thing. You'll even go beyond that. Right thing was just accepting as a beloved brother, but what else could he have gone? We already mentioned it. If you want to go beyond that, you know, it doesn't say what he was going to do, but if you wanted to speculate, and we don't like to speculate, but perhaps you could say maybe he's even hinting at setting him free. Yeah. Terry? Okay. What was the last part of what you said? Okay. Terry said that he had the confidence because he knew the man personally. If you know somebody personally, you know about confidence or sometimes lack thereof, I guess, maybe. So both Paul and Philemon were dealing with a difficult situation. Which one did you find the most challenging, if you think about it? Would Paul's situation of writing this letter and convincing Philemon and trying to get Onesimus back been more difficult than Philemon's acceptance of this letter and convincing not only Philemon but others of like faith to accept it? Which one do you think would maybe be harder than the other? Yep, he was in
so
chains.
There, he met Paul, you know, taught him the Lord, you know, so
yeah.
He became a Christian. But still, in the back of his mind, he's got to be thinking, you know, I'm a runaway slave, and here he is trying to send me back to a place that I didn't want to be in the beginning.
All right. So you're approaching it from the challenges that Onesimus might have, what he's feeling during this process. What about Paul? Is Paul's challenge huge? Trying to get Philemon to take him back? Or is Philemon's side of it the greater challenge?
Paul's got confidence in both of them.
Okay. What about Philemon's side? Or do any of you even have a thought on that? That's what I would think, is that Philemon, his challenge was really tough. You know, perhaps even just starting within his own family of convincing them, you're going to bring him back? Could you almost see somebody saying that? Why are you bringing him back? He took from us, or perhaps we don't know that he actually took or how much or whatever, but Paul says, I'll repay if he owes you anything. It's maybe just labor or something for all the time he's gone. I don't know. But here's old Philemon, and he's got to convince all these people. And who knows what was said from the time he ran away to this point about the runaway slave, you know? How did they react when he ran away, you know? And now everything's different. Miss Ruth? Yeah. All right. If he had other slaves, what are they thinking? I hadn't thought about that. Yes, Josh? Yeah, right. And if I exonerate all these guys, if you know, wipe the slate clean and everybody's granted freedom because that's what I'm supposed to do here, what's, like the as Brendan said, the social climate wasn't going to be very conducive to accepting that at that time, would they? Eddie? Right. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. I think Eddie had an important comment. He said, nowhere in here does he say that he's to take him back as a free person, does it? Doesn't say that anywhere. But he's asking him to take him back as a beloved brother, you know, and Christ. So, but it doesn't say that, you know, you don't have to take it. You'll have to give him his freedom. He might possibly be hinting at that, you know, down here in verse 21 when he says, knowing that you will do even more than I say. Maybe that's what he's hinting at, that possibly your freedom will be forthcoming. I don't know. We don't know for sure. Okay.
So you were a slave when you were converted. That didn't give you the right to run away or make it come through. You still
are. Okay. You think Onesimus is just kind of sitting back watching this play out, or is he all full of dread and wondering, what have I got myself into here? They're sending me back to a place I ran away from, and now this man named Paul has taught me, and he taught me about grace, and he taught me about love, and the brother, and a beloved brother, and about the brotherhood and everything, and he's sending me back. He's told me I have to go back. The principle being what? You've got to make it right. Ron?
I look at it as in a short version of it. Paul goes, I was forgiven a lot. God forgave me.
You know.
Philemon, you were forgiven. I helped you get to know Christ. You were forgiven. Now it's your turn. Decimus, you're forgiven also.
I thought about that. Thought about exactly the same line of thinking that you're making there about Paul's own life himself, you know, and Paul referred to himself as the chief of sinners, you know. Don't you imagine Paul in talking and trying to convert people like Onesimus? He could say, Onesimus, there's not anything that you've probably ever done that would come close to touching all the evil that I've done in my life. That'd be pretty powerful in trying to work with someone. I was terrible. You know, I went around persecuting Christians and things. That's what I lived for at one point in my life. But I was shown love and grace, and God accepted me. He can do the same for you. Yeah. I thought about that very same thing. You know, I've often wondered about Paul's thorn in the flesh. Have y'all, it's irrelevant, I realize, to wonder about it because we don't know, do we? But I've often thought, yes.
He makes a hint of it every once in a while.
All right. You know what I think? This is what I might think, okay? I've wondered if he didn't deal with depression. I wondered a lot of times if Paul was just had a lot of depression, and that's what, you know, thinking about all the things that he did early in life. And yeah, you can be forgiven. But there's a lot of difference between forgiving and forgetting sometimes, right? In your own self, you know, you can feel forgiveness, but you know, I don't know. I had one lady tell me one time it must have been his wife that was his thorn in the flesh. Sound good as any, I guess, you know. But I can say that because it was a lady that told me so. Anyway, but I've often wondered about what that all meant, you know, sometimes. How do you go from being a slave to a beloved brother? There's only one way, isn't there? Only one way. Yeah, you might still be a slave, but you can be a beloved brother. Even more, and that's through conversion. How big a role does grace play? Huge, right? You know, grace is mentioned more than once here in Philemon. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. That's how he concludes it. You know, it's just the extension of this great, great blessing that we have been allowed to have, even though we're unworthy. That's really, as a Christian, that's how we kind of view grace. We're unworthy, but we're so glad that, you know, this blessing was extended to us. The blessings of Christ. First, second, third bell. Second one means we're through. All right. No, I'm just going to keep going another hour. No. I'll lead us in prayer and then we'll be dismissed. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for all these wonderful people and for their thoughts and ideas as we studied in Philemon. Father, we thank you for the grace that has been given each one of us. We thank you for the examples of some of the great teachers in the Bible and throughout the Bible, the great examples that are shown to us on how to live and conduct our own lives. Father, be with those who are suffering from illness and harm. We ask that you heal them and be with those that have very difficult times right now. We ask for your prayers for them and their family. We look forward to the remainder of the week, and we especially look forward to Sunday. We ask that you bless us. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.